the future has arrived. As the world and humanity itself moves faster and faster into unimaginable possibilities, old institutions that built connection and shaped our sense of meaning are falling by the wayside. In their wake, profound questions about ethics, our purpose, and spirituality demand new answers. Join your host, Scott Mason, in Season 2 of the Purpose Highway Podcast. We will explore how these social changes will revolutionize our society. We will learn how they impact our own search for connection and meaning. And we will hear stories of influencers whose lives have had radical change from the inside and found profound connection to others and themselves through a new definition of meaning. The future has arrived. Are you ready?
When you're racing down the purpose highway, we want to make sure you're healthy and happy every step of the way. That's why we're proud to partner with It's Nola, 21st century plant-based healthy granola snack bites made with real ingredients and audacious flavor. It's Nola crafts small batch hand-rolled granola balls that are vegan, gluten-free, and naturally low in sugar. It's Nola's delightful bites come in three flavors: luscious cranberry coconut, sassy mango masala, and dark, decadent, chewy chocolate. It's Nola is available to both individual customers and for wholesale accounts at itsnola.com. That's itsnola.com. Guests on this show are already enjoying this delicious snack. Check out It's Nola's website for yourself and find out how good it is. Hello, everybody. It's Scott Mason revving up for another race down the Purpose Highway. If you like what we're doing, be sure to subscribe and give us a thumbs up on YouTube or a positive review on Apple. And sitting next to me in the front seat today is Lois Kofi. Lois is a professional speaker, a sales trainer, coach, and an Ironman triathlete that's coached thousands of people in business and healthy lifestyles for the last 22 years. Now, I don't know how she's been doing that since she's only 26. You can tell by looking at her. That being said, hey, if you're starting your coaching practice when you're four, then you really have a lot to share with us. Lois pivoted like many in 2020 without having an email list or a podcast or a tribe online, having focused on face-to-face sales for over 20 years. And so began Lois's new trip down the Purpose Highway. Lois, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. I was going to tease you back. You know, I started when I was four. Prince started when he was like in the womb. So I have a lot of catching up to do, right?
Right. It's amazing what people can accomplish even before their brains are fully formed if they try.
100%.
Now, despite the fact that you're 26 or 24, I'm 18. This is being taped in the autumn of 2021. And I say that because people may be listening to this or watching it years from now. The entire world is still in the grips of the Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus, which as of this date has killed one out of every 500 Americans. And this is astounding. We're talking about Civil War level casualties here. This cataclysmic event has fundamentally reshaped thousands upon thousands, millions of lives, and triggered a mass reframing of who we are as a people and as individuals. What we do every day, our purpose, our truth. It's also accelerated two related phenomena that we will discuss on this show, and we have discussed on this show at length. One is the silent revolution 2, it's the secret plague. The silent revolution is the profound transformation of thinking around how people connect to each other through the search for meaning. And by meaning, I mean purpose, spirituality, and ethics. This shift away from the historical institutions that have grounded us and our thinking in those spheres has opened the doors, or at a very minimum, been leading us down new pathways for how we conceptualize ourselves as part of a flow that's bigger than any of us. The secret plague is alienation and mistrust that has risen dramatically, particularly in millennials and the generations underneath that. Alienation and mistrust with regards to the major institutions, including these old historical institutions that have been rocked by scandals and that are leading to mass exoduses from them, if the data is to be believed, and I do believe the data. Spirituality, purpose are really at the heart of everything that I've spoken about a minute ago. I say all of this as a prelude to give our conversation some context. Lois, you've been coaching people on physical health and on business for years. But when this pandemic went down, your life completely changed. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Do we have enough time? I'll give you the Paul Harvey rest of the story, because it's a lot. It's a lot. And at some point, I want to write a book about it, because I'm still unpacking the magnitude of everything. At the end of 2019, I just moved to California, starting all over with my family. I know a few people here, but I was just getting ready to launch my speaking and coaching business. And I was a face-to-face, belly-to-belly marketer since birth, you know, and I never had an online business. So here I was getting ready to jet set around the world. And I already was. I was a salesperson for another company, got tired of that, said, I want to lead with Lois, have my own shingle, which is also kind of a scary deal.
Truly, because
I had been fighting that. I had imposter syndrome like you wouldn't believe. And in January of 2020, I had a breakthrough in a mastermind with a coach who said, Lois, you're allowing your past religious fallout, your family, your failures, all the things that really held me hostage, and I didn't even realize it for 13 years, it's time to let that go. And I cried and I cried and I said, okay, I can do this. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And then the next month was February. My brother dropped dead in his kitchen at 49 and died. And he was someone who helped raise me as a kid, raised by a single father with two older brothers. It was devastating. It was traumatic. And then pandemic hit. I had at that time a 7 and 11 year old who were there, never had homeschooled. I had never been trained. And now we're supposed to do that and start a new business. And then my mom got sick, went into hospice, and 2 weeks later died. And I had two friends commit suicide all through in a very, very short period of time. So you talk about spirituality, you talk about purpose. Like, I was going through the dark night of the soul. And I was shattered inside, but something, you know, bloomed. It's like after a hurricane or a tornado, you know, you always see that one little flower that's like giving hope. Somewhere deep inside, I found that flower. And amidst all the grief, amidst the juggling all the things and trying to find time to figure out also, oh, this online world, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so I worked with my coaches. I started moving forward and getting clear. You know what? Somewhere in here is my purpose. I know exactly what it's going to look like, but I'm going to go for it. So I moved forward in faith. And through that, I went from, and it was probably around April of 2020 to September. I went with no email list, no podcast, to building an email list to 5,000, having a top 20 launched podcast, and being able to manifest my first 5-figure month in online sales with digital products that 6 months before I had no freaking clue what that was going to look like. And through that process, I started reading books like Untethered Soul, The Surrender Experiment. And if you don't have them, go, don't stop. Just don't get them now, but get them right now, because I started realizing I had been a workaholic. I had been fighting with my purpose. I had been struggling with letting go of the demons of my past, of leaving my religion and really like, who the hell am I? I don't know if I can swear on here. But I was just like having to, you know, juggle the success, figure out who the hell am I? And through that process, started unpacking all of that. I stopped working nights and weekends. I took a week off at Christmas and still manifested a $5,000 week with the automation and the systems that I had put in place just 6 months prior. And I started really, really being grateful for the pandemic, even for the losses that I experienced, to see those teachers that had gone before me, what I could take from all that pain and grief, and how could I then go and help other people find their purpose, their passion. And yes, even as a sales trainer, I do have a very spiritual spin on what I teach and what I share, and being very authentic and transparent, taking off that mask, that fake it till you make it mask. I don't know if anybody has one, but people seemed, because of the pandemic, they were hungry for that. They wanted the truth. They didn't want all this sales, you know, scripts and jargon, right, and manipulation. And I think people's hearts are more open now. And so I feel grateful that, you know, I got to see that unfold, experience all of that, and be able to take this story ahead. And so excited to be here today to talk to you.
I'm glad you are too. The Paul Harvey, or what I call the 7-inch radio edit, is often like an iceberg.
Right.
It's self-contained, can be heard, appreciated, and wisdom drawn from it. You can remember the hooks and sing along, but it ain't the same as the extended version. You said a lot in there that we're going to unpack. Awesome. So let's roll back a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit more about your background, because what you're talking about in your early background in 2019 and before goes as to some of the fundamental themes in this show, first of all. Secondly, it goes as to the precipitatory events leading to the transformation in your own life. But it also goes as to a challenge that our audience is facing. And so I want to talk to you about what exactly you said you were talking to a coach. I will also be honest about this. People don't like a lot of times to talk to coaches. They don't like to say, admit they're talking to coaches. I don't know how you feel about this. I had to let my ego go and say, I don't know everything, so let me hire some coaches. Oh my God, best decision I've ever made in my life. Once you let that stuff go, you can learn. So no one, I always used to think no one is as much of an expert on me as me. Wrong. Well, my husband always felt he was more of an expert on me than I. But even coaches can be, they're trained in this, they know what they're doing. You said that this coach worked with you to unpack some things that clearly you were not able to unpack on your own. Right. And some of them related to religious issues that were holding you back. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, because you're not the only person who deals with that.
Oh, I know. And I'm really, that's why when I met you, I was like, you're my brother from another mother.
Yep.
I want to be here to share my story, even though I was so terrified for so long. And admittedly, you know, I still am at times, right? Yeah. Because it was a big deal, you know, and for the first 30 years of my life, I was a very strong Christian. And I'm not, just so we're clear, I'm not putting down any religion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just in that time, I had a recession hit me hard also. I had made multiple six figures. I was building towards that millionaire status. And then boom, the recession hit. All three of my real estate related companies had just barely started. So I went crash and burn and lost everything overnight. Yeah, right. And so instead of being a millionaire by the time I was 30, I was homeless, bankrupt, beyond bankrupt, because I couldn't afford the bankruptcy, had multiple foreclosures, had my car repossessed literally the day before my 30th birthday.
Oh my God. And when you say homeless, what do you mean by that?
I was sleeping on people's floors, futons, spare bedrooms, and I had enough friends to help me out. Right.
But still, that meets the definition of homeless as someone that used to work in that space.
Right on. Yeah. And I mean, I actually visited with the homeless in San Diego at that time. I sought refuge on my stepbrother's floor of his studio apartment in Pacific Beach. Not a bad place to land, by the way. And I actually went down to the Starbucks and all I could afford was, you know, a tall coffee, and same thing for the homeless. And so I started talking to them and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no reason I couldn't be on that beach or that bench just like them. I just happen to have enough friends to help me out.
Right? How did you even process that?
You know what, to be honest with you, I think I numbed and didn't really process it right away. That's where the next part of the story sets in. A lot of people in my life, including, you know, my family at that time, they were just like, wait, you can't pay your bills? Like, wait, wait, what? You got your car repossessed, you know, things like that. And I just felt like such a failure. Yeah. And then I had friends who weren't religious, who weren't Christians, who were pagans and atheists and whatever else. They were so nice to me and so helpful. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I heard you guys were not nice. Like, how do I wrestle with this? So I started questioning everything. I questioned everything about business. I questioned everything about religion. Wow. I questioned and started searching for the first time at age 30. And it opened me up to a whole new world of spirituality. What I call spirituality is just, you know, trusting in that highest cosmic consciousness that brings us and connects us all together. We all really are one, you know. Prince sang about it, and even he in the end, I think religion impacted him more than most people. If you study his life, you know, and I wanted to be free, but I was so scared and so traumatized by the judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, how do I talk to people now that I know that I don't want to subscribe to this 30-year thing that I subscribe to? And I actually felt kind of betrayed and lost and empty. I put my head down. I squashed my dream, got married, started a family. And then from there on, I just sold for other companies, sold for other people, and just kept my voice quiet so that people wouldn't judge me or think that I was cuckoo or think that I was weird and tell me that I was wrong for believing what I had started to see for me wasn't about religion, is about love, acceptance, collective consciousness, and just truly, you know, getting rid of any kind of doctrine or dogma or rules that really came from, in my opinion, a place of power, control, and different agendas than what, say, the Buddhists taught. You know, not a Buddhist practicing or anything. I don't like even giving myself a label. If someone asks, what are you? Are you a Christian? Are you this? Are you that? I'm like, I'm Lois. Don't know what else to call myself, but by my given name. So that's just how I roll now, you know?
Well, and that's part of why I felt this interview was so important to have, for a number of reasons. And we're going to get to some of them that go back to your original 7-inch radio edit version of the story. But even this extended version has led us down some additional rabbit holes to explore that I want to make sure that we do. Yes. What you're touching on is a critical issue for those that are part of the silent revolution. Alienation from identity. Because what I'm hearing you say, let me know if you disagree, was that by shifting your spiritual beliefs, you were literally abandoning an identity. And what I'm also hearing is that in order to preserve the identity or your acceptance within the guilds, within the larger social communities that you were part of, knowing full well that authentically your belief system was something different, you squashed your own voice. That is not an unusual problem. It's just a problem. That's why I call it the silent revolution. It's people aren't talking about it. What are your reactions hearing all that, Lois?
Oh, I have got a good one for you. Are you ready for this?
I'm never ready. I'm always hiding under the desk.
I was so afraid to speak my truth. I manifested an autoimmune disease in my throat. So that's dis-ease, the root word. If you break down disease, dis-ease is, I was so scared that I manifested an autoimmune disease in my throat, which created depression, which created all sorts of other symptoms. It's called Hashimoto's. I even forget that I have it. I'm actually working on going into remission right now. Now that I'm speaking my truth, I have had all sorts of amazing things show up because I'm being my real authentic self for the first time, right? And so that is 100%, you know, I was silent, but silent no more, because I recognize that's a long time, 13 years really, to be afraid to speak my truth. And I'm tired of it. And that's what happened in that coaching session. When I had that breakthrough, I was realized I can't do this anymore. It's not fair to myself. It's not fair to the family. It's not fair to the world and the collective at large.
I'm going to share something personal with you. I've never shared this publicly before, but you brought this out. I'm blaming you.
Guilty.
During the time of my life, and I'll keep this short because this isn't about me, but it goes as to something, again, folks may want to take away from this. During the time in my life in which I felt the most repressed and suppressed, interestingly enough, I developed a throat disorder. I had problems swallowing. I would literally forget how, or I'd have to do it as a conscious matter. Yet, and I went to doctors about it, they said, do you swallow okay when you're asleep? I said, oh, yeah. They were like, yeah, uh-huh. Think about that one, Scott. It wasn't a biological disorder. It wasn't an autoimmune disorder, but it was similarly a manifestation of suppression. And similar to you, it wasn't until I began to bring my own voice out into the world that went away. And I don't have it anymore. Yet nothing physically has changed. So what I'm hearing in all of this is the power, which some people view as hocus pocus or woo-woo or whatever. I'm a science-oriented guy. I'm not really particularly touchy and feeling. And yet, lived experience after a while, I'm like, this speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, I don't know if you've studied like Dr. Joe Dispenza and how you feel about him, but it's like Napoleon Hill, you know, to think is to create. And so since I thought my voice should not be heard and did not matter because I might offend someone, or it might be judged, I gotta just shut up.
You mentioned in the 7-inch version, a book that I'd like to discuss briefly, Singer's The Surrender Project. I haven't read Untethered Soul yet, but The Surrender Project literally changed my life. And in fact, I tried to get him as a guest on this show, but he's not doing any more media appearances.
I tried to.
Yeah, he said the same thing to you. Look, at least the rejection wasn't personal, because that book had such a profound effect on me. And I don't, you know, normally I don't want to be endorsing people who won't appear on the show. Well, I'll endorse them. But in this case, it's worth it. Talk to us a little bit about what that book and Untethered Soul were to you and the impact of them.
Well, first, it pissed me off. Okay, just going to be honest. There's a saying that I love. The truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. So I went through that first part where I read it and he was talking about, you know, surrendering. And I thought I understood surrender, right? But, and I don't even remember exactly what he said. And I even told my coach, like, I don't know if I want to finish this book. This guy's really pissing me off. Because I read The Surrender Experiment first, and he's like, Lois, you might want to look at that. Like, you might want to keep reading. I'm curious. Let's see. And he was right. Once I met myself in the mirror and I realized I was holding on, right, for dear life for so long and so afraid to just let go and allow my authentic self to come out. That was what I was fighting in that book. That's what those two books have done for me. And he has lectures upon lectures upon lectures that I just keep repeating, because I'm really working on reprogramming, undoing almost 43 years of stuff that probably started in utero. Oh, by the way, because my mom was a schizophrenic. I was born in a mental institution hospital. I mean, there's all these layers, right? It's like peeling open up that onion.
Yeah. So
just realize, wait a minute, my truth is love. I'm here to love and be loved and not worry about all of the stuff and the goals and the rules and the dogma and all the things. That's not why we're here.
If you were to give folks a few tips based on your own lived experience and how you may coach folks as to how you can go about reprogramming these thoughts. What would you say?
Well, first, get that book on Audible, sleep with it. I'm not even joking. You know, start the day with those, whatever. I even have them right here. I'll show you, not that you can. Some of the thoughts that I've even worked with subconscious mind coach to write my best affirmation statements for what I need right now. Like my favorite one, I trust my highest consciousness and my intuition. I trust my highest consciousness and intuition. I trust that my life always unfolds perfectly. And so I journal those things. I rewrite them out to help rewire this. And I even recorded it as a voice memo on my phone. So on days where I'm like, you know, I don't really want to do this. Do I have to adult today? I listen to my voice memo of me.
Good for you.
My vision and my affirmations, and a lot of them are similar to this, to come back to center and reconnect my head brain to my heart brain, because we have three brains in our body, our head, our heart, and our gut, and really connect with those as much as I can first thing in the morning to start the day off right. And that energizes me. And those would be my quick, basic, you know, non-businessy type tips to give.
What would you say to those who would respond to what you're doing, which is in a way a version of manifesting? In fact, it is manifesting. Right. Manifesting is magical thinking.
What would I say that manifesting is magical thinking?
No, what would you say to those? Sorry, I wasn't clear on my part. No. What would you say to those that point at you and wag their fingers and say, that's just magical thinking?
Gosh, well, love is magical. For me, it's coming from a place of love and listening to my own still voice. What do I really want? Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful thing. I mean, because here's the alternative. I lived 13 years on the hamster wheel, just going for it, forcing things, making things happen. My marriage was not healthy. I never saw my kids because I was always working and going to all of the things, trying to do all of the things. And I was exhausted. I was starting to drink too much. I started gaining weight because I wasn't connected to my heart. I wasn't connected to what you're terming as magical thinking, because I thought I had to do everything by the book. But reading that book, The Surrender Experiment and then Untethered Soul, I recognized, oh my gosh, being in the flow is so much better. I feel lighter. I've already come down on some of my autoimmune thyroid medications. I'm losing weight. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves in my business. I'm not going to go there, but I've made way more money. I'm making, you know, more money than I did back in the height of my real estate days. And if that's the product of magical thinking, hell, give me some more. Where can I sign up for more?
Exactly. Work that magic. You know, a theme has come up several times in this conversation that I wanted to dive back into. And you actually mentioned it during your pre-interview preparation. Mm-hmm. You're passionate about speaking one's truth. Earlier today, I taped another episode of this show that will be airing around the same time, probably right before yours, actually, with an ethicist by the name of Christopher Gilbert. And one of the things that we talk about in that is the importance of understanding the difference between small T truth and capital T truth. Small T truth is what we just want to tell ourselves. What we say is true. May not be really true, but it's what we want to tell ourselves is true. Big T truth is the truth. And we, from a purely ethical perspective, really explore the implication of lying to ourselves about ourselves. And the argument that he makes, or that one can draw from his work, is that lying to ourselves is actually disregarding big T truth. The big T truth always comes out. And so if you're avoiding the big T truth, you're actually behaving in a way that's unethical. What is exactly the meaning of speaking one's truth to you when you say that. What does it mean? And do you have any thoughts about whether there are spiritual or ethical or other imperatives that come with or that are there but not being acted on by those that do not really speak to the truth about themselves?
Oh my gosh, there's so much there. Oh, well, I think for me, I'll use myself as an example, and then even talking about clients and, you know, this thing called success, right? Yeah. I lied to myself for 13 years because I thought success was work hard, play hard, never let them see you sweat, wear the mask, all of the things. So I was essentially lying to myself. Once I realized, oh, this is not where I wanted to be when I grew up, right? Mm. And I awoken and I sat, I surrendered. I had more time to just unpack it and sit with connecting with myself, not listening to media, not listening to family, not listening to past mentors and other people who, you know, love them, but they might have been manipulating, you know, me a little bit for their own personal gain in some respects, right? We've all been through that. When I actually allowed there to be more silence and to write down what is it that Lois really wants to speak about, because that's what I had to do. I was forced. The pandemic forced my hand. Mm. And then I just had my two most traumatic figures in my life die on top of that. So I was like, wait a minute, life is short. My brother was only 7 years older than me. He won't ever have been 50. That does something to you, right? And so I'm probably going to cry at some point here, but
that's fine. We are on the purpose highway together.
Right. And so just taking the time to slow down, to sit with and write down what makes me happy, what brings natural joy to my life, and what am I here for? You know, that's a lot to say, hey, go and journal about that right now. You know, good luck with that. That's a lot to sit with. Right. But I feel like I found the capital T, and it's such a bummer because I have a coffee mug that has a capital T on it. I wish I would have had that right now. I think for me, it was just coming back to center, coming back to what makes me happy naturally and brings joy to my life. For me, that's oftentimes blocked by other people's agendas. If you work for someone else, you know, you might be selling like I was for someone else and they have their goals that they set for you and whatever. So you might be afraid to speak up and speak your truth, but I welcome it. You know, with anybody that works with me and clients, I'm not here with a cookie cutter business coaching program. I want you to write down what brings you the most joy. There's an exercise that I have people do that anyone could do. Write down the 10 things you're most proud of or that give you the most joy when you reflect on, you know, your life. And then maybe write the two things. I call it the 10 and 2 exercise. Write the two things that don't give you joy and that you want to let go of. And then move forward and see if you can apply that in your business. See that if you can apply that in your relationships and start living your truth as opposed to squashing it. So it was such a big question. I don't know if I answered that appropriately, but I think it comes back to slowing down and just really looking at where you're at. And is this where you want to be? And if not, you're not a tree, right? Zig Ziglar or someone said that you're not planted there. You can change and come back to what is your truth instead of living someone else's.
If we were to all speak our truth, how would the world change?
Well, first of all, I think we'd have to, you know, honor someone else's truth and be with, instead of right away coming at it and disagreeing with. I think if we all came at each other's truth with love and acceptance and appreciation of one another and cheer that person on instead of saying, you know, you're wrong, I don't agree with you, let's be political about it, right? And I won't go there, but you know what I'm talking about. The duality of the world is why I've had 8 friends commit suicide, right? Because they didn't get to speak their truth. They were afraid because they were different. They were weird, or they were lost because they didn't understand their truth, right? And so I really, really, really have a passion for that. We're this is autumn, the time we're recording. This is September. You're on my show to talk about, you know, how, you know, us weird people or people who aren't able to speak their truth have so much pain, so much depression, and they're lost, you know? And so if, again, going back to your question, I think if there was love, acceptance, appreciation for one another's truth and ability to share it openly and honestly without that fear of judgment or condemnation or that's not right, that's weird, you know, I think this world would be on fire. We would have so much love and so much abundance. And I'm not even talking about money. It's just that community and relationships and appreciation. I think we'd be closer.
Lois, you have devoted your personal and professional life to being that source of abundance for people, to be that guide that helps them find their voice. Tell us about some things that you have going on.
I'm excited and honored to. Thank you. Well, first, since it goes with some of the words we've used, part of my journey over the last 18 months, coaching hundreds of people, seeing the struggles, what's working, what's not, what's missing, what's not. I put together a star-studded cast of 27 speakers for my Manifest and Monetize Summit. And that will have passed by the time the shows, but it doesn't matter because it's there. It's evergreen. So people can check that out and really notice Manifest was before the word monetize, because again, manifestation is about speaking your truth, connecting with your true source, whatever that is for you. And being able to then go out and make money through your vocation, your speaking engagements, your podcast, your book, you know, your coaching business, your healing business. Those are most of the people that I work with are coaches, speakers, podcasters, authors, and holistic healers, because they're an extension of me to heal the world. So I also have my podcast, which you're on, Healthy and Wealthy and Wise. And I actually have a coaching program now rolling out November 1st called Healthy and Wealthy and Wise, you know, helping people create their truth through their message, their mission, their purpose, their why, and then being able to go out there and create programs and monetize it and create a fortune. But first, be able to figure out what am I here to do? And then to be able to put it into a program to then share with the world.
It's beautiful.
So those are my big things.
For people to be able to really be living out something that means something to them, that is connected with who they are inside, as opposed to just making money. And I've been there myself, doing things that you hate or that are wrong for you. Wow. What a sea change of difference. Lois, how can people find out more about you? How can they follow the work that you're doing? Tell us where to go. Just give us the bait and let us sniff at it.
Awesome. Well, you can go to loiscofee.com. So we'll get that in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Manifestandmonetize.com. But at Lois Cofee, it has a podcast tab. So you can find Healthy and Wealthy and Wise in iTunes, iHeartRadio, and on YouTube, you know, just like you. I love YouTube because that's where I get to speak and share. But all of those resources are on my loiscofee.com/podcast page, which they'll find you as well. And so those would probably be my best resources.
Love it. Lois, it has been great taking a ride with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. And for everyone tuning in, if you like this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review on Apple or a comment on YouTube. And I shall see you next time for another ride down the Purpose Highway. When you're racing down the Purpose Highway, we want to make sure you're healthy and happy every step of the way. That's why we're proud to partner with It's Nola, 21st century plant-based healthy granola snack bites made with real ingredients and audacious flavor. It's Nola crafts small batch hand-rolled granola balls that are vegan, gluten-free, and naturally low in sugar. It's Nola's delightful bites come in three flavors: luscious cranberry coconut, sassy mango masala, and dark, decadent, chewy chocolate. It's Nola is available to both individual customers and for wholesale accounts at itsnola.com. That's itsnola.com. Guests on this show are already enjoying this delicious snack. Check out It's Nola's website for yourself and find out how good it is.